His resurrection defied death, and it destroyed death. Also, it says Jesus Christ was the first fruit. Jesus Christ has a glorified body. We know that Jesus Christ lives on. He got up and walked out of that grave. But look at our own self today. Our bodies that we have. When our loved ones has been gone for many, many years. As we walk through cemeteries and we see the old, old graves and cemeteries. As we think back at the time has passed. How many people has died and buried in this old Mother Earth, as we call it today. As Adam and Eve, just outside the Garden of Eden, as they was walking, maybe in the daytime, they stumble upon their dead son. Cain slew Abel. I don't know how they dug a hole, how they buried him, but since that time, this earth has come a vast graveyard for the body. But we're talking about now that we live on. Today, a continued principle of living on today. But also in a different sermon, I like to tell you that sin and hell lives on also. Sin and hell lives on also. Paul Harvey, as most of us have heard him, if you're of any age at all, I tell you, this is the rest of the story. Easter has passed. 30 minutes was not enough to explain these scriptures. I want to tell you the rest of the story. Jesus Christ raised from the grave, and the bodies that God's going to have for you and I that saved will rise also from the grave and live on. So as we read a few verses of scriptures in 1 Corinthians 15:35, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare grain, and it may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as it has pleased him. To every seed his own body. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for this privilege that we may understand that we might live on. Father, the grave is not the end. We want to thank you for what Jesus Christ done 2,000 years ago, the defeated death. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, this day that you may open our understanding. And even, Father, here this day, if there's someone, Father, is lost and do not know you as Lord and Savior, Father, we just pray today, God, they may understand that they can live on with Christ Jesus. We just want to thank you for the blessing and the sweetness of the Spirit today, that knowing that we're here today, that we're lifting up our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for what it means to each and every one of us and also to our families and our families to come in the name of Jesus. Amen. When the saved dies, we know that 2 Corinthians 5 and 8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You know, if we really understand those scriptures, and the older that we grow on this earth, the more that we'll understand those scriptures. You see, as you live longer enough on this earth, there'll be a lot of scriptures that you live out, that you'll understand a lot more about some scriptures than you did whenever you was a child or when you first got saved. And here's one of them here, the older, the more aches and pains you have, the more that you'll understand these scriptures that he's talking about. Now, there's no such thing as soul sleep. When we close our eyes in death, this old world, we will open our eyes to see Jesus. There's no soul sleep as we understand the Bible. Man is not a body. Man has a body. And this is our earthly house that you are looking at. I'm looking out today and I see a lot of earthly houses. Man lives in a man's house. A dog lives in a dog house. And a lot of times people say a man's in a dog house, but he's not really in a dog house. You're in a man's house because this body. Now, we need to make the distinction between this earthly house, it's called this body, than the soul and the spirit. There's difference between man and his body that we're talking about today. Now, it does not mean that our body is not important. Our body is very, very important to you and I, but it is also very important to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God with your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." God is going to redeem you, soul, body, and spirit. He does a complete job when he does anything. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, you see, he died immediately in his spirit. The Lord moved out. Immediately, Adam died in his spirit. And progressively, he died in his soul. That means he walked further and further away from God. Progressively, he died in his soul. But you know, ultimately, he died in his body, if it did take him over 800 years to do so. Ultimately, he died in his body. It takes some time for our old spirit to catch up with our body sometime, but it caught up with old Adam, and it's going to catch up with us. Now, when God saves you and redeems you, he redeems all of you. Now, what Adam lost, Jesus Christ redeemed back for mankind. It was lost by a man, it was gained by a man. And it says, to start with, we are justified immediately in the spirit, just as Adam immediately died in the spirit right then when he sinned. We are justified immediately in the spirit when we ask Christ to come in and save us. It's no gift. It's not coming to church and gradually one day you're going to be righteous. It's not trying to do the best you can. It's not giving into the collection plate. It's not coming to Sunday school. You are saved immediately. You are justified immediately. It is a gift and there's nothing that you can do to earn this justification. You are just in Christ Jesus because immediately when you asked him to save you, he saved you and you are justified immediately just as the Spirit left Adam immediately. You are justified immediately in the Spirit. Life. Now you are sanctified progressively in the soul. That means, you know, when you got to the age of accountability and you know that you were sinning against God, you know what we was all doing? We was all walking away from God. That's the reason it's so important to bring your children to the house of God. Woe to any mother and father that say they're saved and won't bring their kids to the house of God so they can hear the word of God and be saved. But whenever you are justified immediately in the Spirit, then it starts the act of justification. Justification is being more like Jesus Christ. And then there's the process. You don't become like Jesus Christ overnight, but then there's a process. Then it's called sanctification. Then you start walking towards Jesus Christ. All your Christian life is walking towards Jesus Christ. That is being more and more like Jesus Christ every day. And the closer you get to Jesus Christ, the more that you'll be like Jesus Christ. That is a process that goes on in the Christian life. A process that Adam lost, a process that Jesus Christ regained for us. And then there's glorification ultimately in the body. One of these days, we'll have new bodies, and these new bodies will be glorified in Jesus Christ. Now, the resurrection body, as we move on, there's more to come. As I said from last week, as old Paul Harvey says, the rest of the story, as we're talking about our bodies now, what Jesus Christ done for us. Now, there's a perplexing problem to start with that we really need to understand. And this problem that we would say, because verse 35 said, "Now, but some men will say," some men will say, "How in the world are the dead raised up? And what bodies are they going to have?" There's a question. A lot of people will ask this question. Now, it's hard for us to comprehend the resurrection of these bodies. I mean, it's hard because God has not given us the knowledge to understand what's going to happen. But the Bible tells us. Now, we know that there's some people have been in the grave for hundreds of years and some even for thousands of years. And we know what happens to these bodies when they go back to the dust of this earth. You go out and dig in some old graves and you won't even find a tooth or bone. They've been there so many years that they're just turned right back to the sand and the dust of the earth. I mean, and then they say, how can this thing be? Well, out in the desert, well, people's buried in the desert. And we know that, you know what, out in the jungles, in the sea, whenever those people are buried at sea. What happens to these bodies? Well, the Bible's going to tell us as best as it can for us to understand. Now they're what we call liberals. Now, if you was here a few Wednesday nights ago, you'd understand what liberals mean. We have liberal religious people. We have liberal politicians and political people. We have liberal social people. When you say liberal, and they are very proud of it, we have a whole party in Washington, D.C. is very proud of being a liberal. People vote for liberals. And when you vote for a liberal, you vote against your own self. And you vote against Jesus Christ when you vote liberal. Because liberals deny the basic foundation of the truth, no matter what area they are. They deny the basic foundation of the truth. They are liberals, and anytime they are, where it's religious, we have liberal churches, Southern Baptist churches, as liberals. Because there are a lot of churches that's liberal. We have Southern Baptist churches that's liberal. They deny the truth, the foundation truth of the Word of God. We also have some liberal preachers the same way. And it goes on any area that's called a liberal. And they are so proud to be called liberals. Because they deny the foundational truth of whatever liberal they stand for. Whenever people vote in this country, and exactly what's wrong with our country today, that people will vote for liberals. Remember, a liberal, someone denies the foundational truth of whatever type of liberal they are. And a whole group of people votes for these things, and that's one of the problems we have. But a liberal religious person says the resurrection, oh, they say the soul and spirit, we can see, understand that. And they doubt, you know, the foundation of the Bible because they are liberals. And you see, but the Bible never used the term of resurrection for any other thing except the body. Never used in the Bible, listen, it never uses that term resurrection for anything but the body. Never for the soul and never for the spirit. Never, never. Liberals, you say, well, I believe in a spiritual resurrection. I believe in a spiritual resurrection. A spiritual, there's no such thing because a spirit never dies. It don't need resurrection. But we got people that votes for these people, and they're proud of it. They are liberals, and they deny the truth of the resurrection. Only the body dies and needs resurrection. And they say, how are these raised up? How are these bodies raised up? Well, Jesus made us from nothing. And he won't have no problem putting us back together from nothing again anyway, will he? I'm telling you, plain facts is all it is. He'll have no problem. And you see, there's a plain picture. In Corinthians 15:36 and on, it says, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body, shall be but bare grain and a charge of wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. God gives us that. Now, you see, this is garden time. I mean, this time to plant our garden, the springtime. Now, a seed in one sense has to die as you plant that garden. But it don't really die because it has life in that seed, as I explained last week. Life has a continuing process going on, a potential principle that goes on in our life and also in seed. Now, out of that dead seed, out of that life, something greater, something more glorious, something grander, more magnificent than the seed that's put in the ground. Now, it'd be something if you put one corn seed in the ground, and whenever you go back to harvest that corn, you just take that one corn seed, that's all you have, you shook that corn, there's just one little old corn seed on that cob. That'd be something, wouldn't it? You go out there and plant one pea seed, and that pea he'll come back up, and you got one pea on that, and you open that, and there's only one pea in it. That'd be something, wouldn't it? It's different when it's sowed in that ground and it comes back up. It's always different. The principle there of life stays in the seed. In your body, there's a principle of life that remains and never dies. Y'all know that? There's a principle in you that will never die. Now, John chapter 11, verse 26, Mary and Martha, and it says, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Then he asked that question, "You believe it? Do you believe that you'll never die today? You here today and you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you will never die. You will never die." I'm not talking about this old body that we have here. That's not the real you. You will never die. I have a germ of life in me. The Holy Spirit of God placed it there. My body may go into the grave before long if Jesus Christ don't come back. But I tell you, even though it does, I won't be dead. I'll be continuing on. I'll be continuing on. I'll be continuing on. God has gave us this beautiful time of year. It's called springtime. For us to have an illustration of the resurrection in the nature as we look out, every day is a blessing of God that we see the beauty all around us. It tells us the springtime of the year, there's resurrection in these old bodies. There's going to be a springtime for every one of us. He shows that to us in nature. How can all this be? How can this happen, people would say? Well, as I told you last week, do you have the same body that you was born with as a baby? Do you have the same body that you was born with as a baby? And now you say yes, you might say no. As I told you, you know what? The water runs under the Mississippi River. You cross the Satilla River. I don't know how many hundreds of times you may have crossed the Satilla River. You know what? There's probably not a drop of water, that same drop of water it was the first time you crossed it. But it's still the Satilla River. It's still the Satilla River. You see, they tell us now, science tells us that every 7 years you have a complete new body because you have complete new cells every 7 years. I don't know how they figure all that out. I feel like I got some cells that's older than 7 years, I can tell you that. Like a snake, it sheds, you know, it's got to make room for something new. Our body is continually changing all the time because they are a continual principle that we have in our body that God give us. Psalmist 139:6, "My eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect," that means unformed yet, "and in thy books all my members were written, which in continuation were fashioned when as yet there was none of them." That means in your mother's womb, even before then, that God already had everything in his book. He had it all in his book before you was even thought of. God's got it all wrote down. They call it DNA now. I don't know what God called it, but anyway, it's all wrote down. It says, "And yet whenever, you know what, I was unperfect, when I was unformed, God had all my DNA in his book. He knew what I was going to look like. He knew how many fingers and toes I was going to have. He knew everything about me. It was already in his book. Even before that I was even thought of, and before you was even thought of this day, God had a plan, and he knew what I was going to look like, and he brought that plan forward, and here I am. Now, God's also got a plan for my new body. He's got a plan for my new body. No more problem than making my new body that he made this body here. He's got a plan for it. It's in his DNA what my new body is going to look like. It's going to be put back together again. He has a plan for my new body. According to his plan, the picture of that is the resurrection, a new birth experience, what God's going to do for me and what God's going to do for you. But see there, we're going to meet some particular people because not all is going to be in the same resurrection. As I said, you know, sin and death continues on, and I want to, that's another whole sermon. I don't know if God's going to let me preach that or not. But there's continue on life, there's continue on in hell, and there's continuous sin. It keeps going on and on and on and on in a place called hell. Never, I told you last week, you know, not the first sin in hell will ever, ever, ever be paid for. That's what Jesus Christ done for you. You couldn't pay for one sin, and all the torment in hell will never pay for one lie that you ever told. Anybody ever told a lie? Now, only one sin is reason that anybody's in hell or ever go to hell or ever be in hell. There's only one sin. Well, what is that, preacher? Murder? No, not murder. What is it, preacher? What is it? What is it? It is only one sin. Not accepting Jesus Christ. Not what you have done, but what you have not done. Only one sin is the reason the people's in hell. For rejecting what Jesus Christ done on Calvary's cross, you have rejected that. There's no other forgiveness. Now, there's going to be another resurrection, and I'm trying not to get into this. There's going to be another resurrection of the doomed and the damned called the second resurrection. And then it says you're going to be judged every man according to his works. And then you're going to have the suffering for what you have done in these bodies. There are going to be some degrees of what man has done. But the reason they're there to start with in hell is because they have rejected Jesus Christ. And then they will be judged at the great white throne judgment. And then for all eternity, they'll be paying for those sins, judgment for those sins, but they will never, ever, 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 ever be paid for, not one sin. What Jesus Christ done for you on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be different, isn't it? I'm going to tell you. 1 Corinthians 15:38, I read, but God give us a body as it had pleased him to ever see his own body. Verse 39 says, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another kind of beasts, another kind of fish, and another kind of birds. Now, how did Paul know all this? How did Paul write this down? How did he know all this? He wasn't no biologist. How could he know all this? Plumb simple. Let me read you how Paul knew all this. 2 Peter 1 and 2, it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God gave it to him. God gave it to him. Now, 1 Corinthians 40 and on, it says, there are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the celestial is two, another. There is one glory of sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. God made it original. He made it original. There are no two snowflakes they claim is alike. And they claim, you know, there's no two fingerprints. All the people of the world, and there are no two fingerprints alike. That sounds hard to believe, but that's what they say, and I believe it. Because God did not make no carbon copies of these bodies to start with. And I'm going to tell you, in heaven, they won't be no carbon copies of it, that we will be different. We won't be like all eggs in a crate. We will be different. A little boy got a fingerprint thing for Christmas to check fingerprints, a little toy he played with, and he was checking fingerprints, and he had heard where there was nobody had the same fingerprints. He said, that ain't true. He said, because Santa Claus and my daddy and whoever broke my piggy bank got the same fingerprints. God never makes carbon copies. We're all different now. We'll all be different then. Whenever you went and bought your garden seed, if you hadn't planted your garden, you got all different types of seed. Farmers about all different kinds. You go in and you get all different kinds. You get some corn seed, pea seed, got all different types of seed. You know what? And when you plant those things, you're going to have a different type of crop come up for all those different seeds. Well, it says every one of us has got a different body. We got a different seed. We're going to be different, just like the garden that you plant. It's going to be different. We're going to have a different body, every one of us. Change comes from corruption to incorruption. Do you have any pain this past week? Do you have any pain right now? From corruption to incorruption. You're going to change this because there's a process going on right now in your body. It's called corruption. It's called deterioration. You know that quite well. It's taking place now, and it's taking place because you are a sinner. You have sinned. You have a sinful body, a falling nature, and that's the reason of deterioration. And I think about myself. Yes, I understand that. I understand that corruption is coming in. You know, you get tired sometime and weary of this old world. From corruption to incorruption. You see, in the land, one of these days, we're going to be in the land of no more. And I'm kind of looking forward to it. You know, I believe before God gets through with us, we'll all be looking for a way out of here. Don't y'all? I'm going to tell you, more pain comes, more sorrow, more difficulty. You know what? We'll be looking for a different place. That's the way God made it. This is not your home. You see, we've been in a land of no more. No more sighing, no more crying, no more parting, no more pain. I'm going to say, no more doom, no more gloom, no more dying. It makes you want to get a little bit homesick. A little bit homesick. There's going to be a change from corruption to incorruption. Then it says there's going to be a change from dishonor to glory in verse 43. It says, "Is sowed in dishonor is raised in glory." And this is old old butterfly and caterpillar effect. Metamorphosis takes place, you know, whenever the inside becomes the outside. Well, right now you're going through that same change. Right now inside of you, you know, you got to change. I said the process is going on, process of sanctification. Because if you'll just be truthful, we're living in this old cocoon right now. It is, but you see, sometime there's a part of me. Will you be truthful with me? Whenever there, that old caterpillar effect comes back in my life and I want to crawl down deep in the dark holes of this life. And then sometimes you see there's the butterfly effect that comes in my life and I want to soar high with the sun and have the beauty of a butterfly. But one of these days a complete change will come and we'll be complete changed. We'll be sued in dishonor, but we'll be raised in glory. Now, they tell me that diamond and also a lump of coal is made out of the same thing, carbon. A diamond under pressure, a coal under pressure is diamond. Well, we know the beauty of a diamond, so you think about a diamond, you see, and that carbon is a carbon of glory. But how about a lump of coal? It's the carbon of humanity that you're looking at right now. I'm just an old lump of coal, but one day I'll be a diamond because it said, the change will come from dishonor to glory when God gets through with me. But again, the liberals, they deny the foundation of the truth. They deny the foundation of truth. They say there's a process of evolving going on. It's called evolution. As I tell you, the reason it's taught in school systems today, evolution, is because people have voted for these liberals in Washington, D.C. Because they deny the fact of the truth. There's no such thing as evolution. That is a lie upon mankind, but it's a process of a whole party in Washington. And when you people vote for these parties in Washington, they're voting against their own self in many ways they don't even understand. The president, if you want to call him that, he said about 2 years ago that he was against gay marriages. But he says he have evolved. Now, if you look at him, he ought to be very careful when they say he have evolved. Because I believe, and if you believe in evolution, you'd have to say amen. He have evolved. Now he believes in it. He is a liberal. The most liberals have ever been a liberal. I don't want to even go on that. Because he denies the truth. A liberal says that this life we're living in, we're getting better and better and better and better. God says, no, we're not. We're getting worse and worse and worse. You know why? Because we're traveling further away from the cross. I could tell you more. Even this church, our church is getting further away from the cross. So you see some things that we do, but used to we wouldn't have done. It's the process of human beings. You see, God made a glorious creation. But see, sin has scarred and marred and disfigured us. And then the change from weakness to power. So in the weakness raised in power. I would like, most of us have this same problem as Christians. You know, I'd want to do more for the Lord. I'd like to serve him better. I'd like to read more. I'd like to preach more. I'd like to do this more. I'd like to do that more. I'd like to do this more. I'd like to do more for the Lord. But it seemed like there's something in me just says, I don't know. I just can't do it. That's weakness. Some of us are weak. No, I ain't going to say it. One of these days, we'll be able to praise. We'll be able to sing. Whenever I opened that book, that song, I believe it's 211, I said, I live on. I wish I could sing. Boy, I tell you, if I could sing, I'd make Marshall ashamed of himself. I'd sung that song for you this morning if I could sing that song. I tell you, I live on. But I'll be able to sing. But you see, I have limitations here on this earth, and you do also. But I'll be sowed, it says now, if we understand this, in weakness, but I'll be raised in power. They won't be the limitations of this old body. But then it says change from a natural body to a spiritual body. To a spiritual body. Now get this. 1 Corinthians 15 and 44, you need to look at this real well. Because it separates the liberals. It said it is sowed a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Careful, careful. Does not say raise a spirit body, but a spiritual body. What is the difference? You have a natural body. This is that old soulish body. The difference is when you say a spirit body, that is a contradiction in term. A contradiction in turn, a spirit body. That's what the liberals say. That's like you can't say cold and hot. It's got to be cold, it's got to be hot. You can't say cold, hot. It's got to be one or the other. You can't say up and down. It's got to be up or it's got to be down. It can't be up and down. There's a difference. It's not the same. Round and square, it's a difference. Spirit body, you can't say spirit body. There's no such thing as spirit body. Just like they're not no up, you got to say up or down. There's no such thing as a spirit body. That's for the liberals. I tell you, I believe that Jesus Christ resurrected spiritually. Many of them, I tell you, that he resurrected spiritually. That he had a spirit body. No, he did not. He rose in a spiritual body, as I am here today. A spirit-filled person operates on a certain spiritual level. Like we operate on a soulish principle because we are carnal and we have to obey the carnal law. When we are resurrected in a spiritual body, not a spirit body, but a spiritual body, we operate then on the spiritual things of God. You better understand that there's a difference. Because there's no such thing as a spirit body. Jesus Christ did not walk out of that grave as a spirit body. A spiritual body operate on spiritual things. Today, if you feel with the Spirit of God, you operate as a spiritual person. But you will never have a spirit body. The liberals say, yeah, I believe that. That Jesus Christ, he rose in spirit, had a spirit body. No, he did not. No, he did not. You see, you better understand the Word of God, and that verse of Scripture will tell you how to vote when you go to vote next time we go to election. Because it'll tell you that the liberals do not believe in the foundation of truth of the Word of God to start with. And you're voting against yourself, voting against your family, and you're voting against your nation, and you're voting against God when you vote for a liberal. And I don't care what party they're in. If they are liberal, I'm against them because they are against the foundation of the Word of God. Now, the perfect pattern. Good gracious, the perfect pattern. 1 Corinthians 15 and 45. And so it is written, the first Adam was made a living soul and the last Adam was made a quickening spirit. He's talking about Adam and he's talking about Jesus Christ. There are only two families in the world. You're in the family of Adam or you're in the family of Jesus Christ. There's only two families in the world, whether you like it or not. You're either lost or you're saved. You're in a family of God, you're in the family of Adam, lost. Now, verses 46 on it says, howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. First man is of the earth, Adam, earthly. The second man is of the Lord from heaven, Jesus Christ. As it is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And as it is heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, the body, now we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, Jesus Christ. Now, some questions. We don't have the answer to everything. God don't expect us. Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret thing belongs unto God, but what he has revealed to you, you and your children, that you may understand, are some things that you're never going to understand. But let me tell you something. When the people said that Jesus Christ appeared to me, and I seen Jesus Christ, and he stood right there at my bed, let me tell you what the Bible says. Let me tell you what the Bible says about some of these experiences that people have. Let me tell you what the Word of God says. In 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know. But we do know this one thing, it says, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. You will not see him as he is until you're like him. Anybody that ever seen Jesus Christ would vanish away, would vapor away. Nobody can see Jesus Christ. Nobody can see God and live. I don't care about your experiences. You believe anything you want to, that's up to you. But I'll tell you what the Bible says. We shall see him as he is because we'll be like him. That's the only way you're going to see Jesus Christ, is for you to be like him. When you're like him, you'll see him as he is. Psalmist 17:15 says, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with his likeness. With his likeness. There's a very definite period of time that's going to happen. 53. Now this is saved, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but all shall be changed. In a moment, twinkling of an eye, the last trumpet, for the trump shall sound, and there shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Matthew 24 says, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And at midnight there was a cry, may behold, the bridegroom cometh, go you out and meet him. The title, as I'm going to have to close, life, continue, process, goes on. And the principle that I have in me, Jesus Christ put it there, and I'll live on. Do you want to live on this morning? You better believe that Jesus Christ had the proper praise one of these days for us to raise, O grave, where is our victory? Death, where is thy sting? The proper praise, what Christ have done for you, one of these days you will understand that. Let me tell you, you better know Jesus Christ, what he done for you 2,000 years ago. These old bodies, I'm going to tell you, these old bodies are going to be changed. But you won't never die. You won't never die. You're going to have a process of living on. Now, I'm going to tell you, mothers and fathers today and grandparents, if you got any kids that's not in church, woe, woe, woe. You better do all you can. You better do all the praying you can for that mother and the father to get them here. Or you better help you get them here, wherever it might be. You better get them to the house of God. They need to be saved because we don't know what hour that Jesus Christ is going to come back and call us home. And you know what? You'll be left to face the Antichrist. Do you want to face the Antichrist? Because there's only one Christ you're going to face. That's the Antichrist, because Christ's going to be in the glory. We're going to be with him. This change is going to come. Do you know for sure as you're saved this morning? You say, well, I really, really don't. Well, you know what? It's not my job to know whether you're saved or not, but the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know who's saved here this morning, who's not. It's not my place to know. And it's not my place to tell you where you lost or saved. That's the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God. But there's a lot of people think they're going to go to heaven. I was watching television that said, you know, we're about 80% of the people in this country, maybe a little higher than that, that believe they're Christians. I heard that thing called a president called himself a Christian. Called himself a Christian. Believing in death to people. Abortion, homosexuality. Like I said, you can't say up and down. That's not the same thing. There's got to be a difference. You got to be up or you got to be down. You're a Christian or you're lost or you're saved. Which one is it now? Are you lost or you're saved this morning? Do you want to be saved? Well, I try to live a good life. You try all you want to, you're going to go to hell. You know why? Because you got a natural body. All you got to do is act naturally. What would it take this morning for someone to accept Jesus Christ? Well, I'm young. Well, you could have a car accident on the way home today. I got plenty of time. I got to get this right and that right. Whenever I get everything right, then I'm going to come. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to accept the Lord. I'm going to join the church. I'm going to get baptized when I get everything right. Go ahead and keep waiting. Just keep waiting. Just keep waiting. You're trying to get your life all right. Wait till you get your school over with. Wait till you get this. Wait till you get money in the bank. Wait till you get this paid. Just keep waiting. Just keep waiting. Just keep waiting. Until one day, it'll be all settled right then. Might be a heart attack. Be settled right then. Because the devil knows what I've told you this morning is the truth from the Word of God. And you see, there's two sitting on your shoulder. One of them might be saying, hey, you know what? That preacher's telling the truth. He's right. And here's that other, yeah, he's right. I don't disagree with him. He's right. He's telling you everything right. But you got plenty of time. You get your life straight. Now, you're not really going to come down that aisle and what you're up to and the way you're living, are you? You're not really going to come. You're not really going to come down that aisle and say, hey, I want to accept Jesus Christ and follow Jesus Christ through baptism and the lifestyle you're living, are you? No, I ain't going to do that. No, sirree. No. I'm going to go back. I'm going to correct all my errors. And I'm going to start living a good life. I'm going to quit all these things I'm doing I ought not to be doing. And I'm going to start doing things I should be doing. I'm going to get all that corrected. And then I'm going to come back. The devil told me the same thing nearly 30 years ago. You know what? I couldn't do it. And you can't do it either. Because you won't never get your life straight. Because you can't. Let me tell you something else. They're not, no, first one of us can live the Christian life. And God don't expect you to. And he has not even asked you to. But he wants to get in you and live his life through you. Through you. You can't quit doing wrong things. You might quit doing this and then you'll start doing that. And you can't do the right thing because you might do this for a while and you quit, then you need to be doing this. But when you come, say, Jesus Christ, I'm going to throw myself on the mercy of the cross of Calvary because I can't. And you know what? That's the only person that Jesus Christ can save. You know what? You're here today, you're lost. You can't be saved. No, you can't be saved until you first understand that I'm lost. God can't save you. Till the Holy Spirit convicts you that you need help. As long as you want to do it yourself, you will never, ever, ever get saved. When you come to a point that I can't, and he can, he never said that I could, but he said that he would, and you come to Jesus Christ. As we come with a song invitation, God has spoke to your heart today. I'm talking about the real you here. Do you really, really have this body? You want to live on someplace? Remember, I told you there's a place called hell and a place called sin. It also lives on. Just as a place in heaven that we'll live on. You need to make it right with God. Have you really accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You just know about him because you see your lifestyle approve whether you know Jesus Christ or not. It'll all come out just like I said, that caterpillar and that butterfly, it'll all come out. Do you really know Jesus? Have you really experienced Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? As we come now with a hymn. God has spoken to your heart right this hour.